is the Come Read With Me podcast. Welcome to Come Read With Me, the Book of Mormon, episode number 18. Welcome back to Come Read With Me, the Book of Mormon. We're going to keep reading today in 1 Nephi chapter 20, an exciting chapter. But first, Dave's going to give us our recap, and then I will do the reading today. Dave, take us away.
Sounds great. We're just following Lehi and his family, their sons Nephi, Laman, Lemuel, Sam. And we just read in previous episodes about Jacob and Joseph, who were born as they crossed the sea. Nephi and his brothers were commanded to build a ship to cross the many waters. And there was some strife, conflict, but they made it through it. And they're now in the promised land. And we're just going to continue reading about Nephi and some of the revelations that he's received.
Awesome. Thank you, Dave. Today, chapter 20 is going to be an interesting one. This one is essentially a quotation of an Isaiah chapter. There are several Isaiah chapters in the Book of Mormon, and this is an exciting opportunity for us to show our limitations for what we know. So, for anyone who doesn't know, Isaiah is a prophet from the Old Testament who was very poetic and very eloquent in his verse and his discussion of the Savior and all these sorts of topics that he discussed. Some consider it to be very complex and very difficult to understand. I might be one of those people. So I'm going to do my best. Dave's probably bringing the muscle to today's discussion.
That's kind of you to say, Eric. One thing I do want to chime in on and point out to our listeners here is, like you mentioned, Isaiah was a prophet of the Old Testament. He was seeing into the future of things that were going to happen. The way that he described them, like you mentioned, could be very poetic. He was gifted with words, you know, that's great. But at the same time, imagine how it would be for us in today to try and explain something that's going to happen hundreds, even thousands of years into the future. We don't have the words or the metaphors or the analogies to make those comparisons. So we'll do the best with the limited experiences that we have that we can relate to. Just keep that in mind. Isaiah is probably doing the same thing. He did his best. Certainly, he was an expert on prophesying of Jesus Christ. But just take everything with that in mind, that he did his best to describe things that he probably didn't have words or experiences to fully describe that. So yes, we will rely upon the spirit of revelation and invite you as our listeners to do the same.
And we may jump in from time to time just to sort of illustrate perhaps what we can understand or help each other sort of talk through it. But what I want to just remind everybody, we are reading essentially what is a quotation of Isaiah, but this is Nephi. This is Nephi writing an Isaiah chapter in here. And so as we read this, I want to look at it from that context of perhaps why Nephi thought this was important enough to do that. Yeah. So, all right, let's jump in at chapter 20, verse 1. Hearken and hear this, O house of Jacob, who are called by the name of Israel, and are come forth out of the waters of Judah, or out of the waters of baptism, who hear by the name of the Lord and make mention of the God of Israel. Yet they swear not in truth nor in righteousness. Nevertheless, they call themselves of the holy city, but they do not stay themselves upon the God of Israel, who is the Lord of hosts. Yea, the Lord of hosts is his name. Behold, I have declared the former things from the beginning, and they went forth out of my mouth, and I showed them. I did show them suddenly, and I did it because I knew that thou art obstinate, and thy neck is an iron sinew, and thy brow brass. And I have even from the beginning declared to thee, before it came to pass, I showed them thee, and I showed them for fear, lest thou shouldst say, mine idol hath done them, and my graven image and my molten image hath commanded them. All right, Dave. I don't know. But here, let's dive into a couple of things that I thought was interesting. First, what I thought was interesting was the mention of baptism in verse 1. If you read Isaiah 48, that particular sentence is a little bit different and doesn't mention baptism, but Nephi includes that. It says, come forth out of the waters of Judah, or out of the waters of baptism. That or out of the waters of baptism is unique to what Nephi wrote, and that isn't in the Isaiah chapter. What I think is interesting about that is that Nephi, just a few chapters ago, if you go back to 1 Nephi chapter 11, he had a vision of seeing Jesus Christ, of seeing John the Baptist, and of seeing Jesus being baptized by John the Baptist. And so as Nephi, this is again, 600 years before Christ, as Nephi is processing what Isaiah is writing here, he's seeing like, oh, out of the waters of Judah. Oh, that's what that means.
Yeah.
Out of the waters of baptism. And he's including that here. So I thought that was interesting, an interesting addition. So it's saying, oh, the house of Jacob, this is the Israelites he's talking about. So they're talking to like the whole Israelite people, the people who have taken upon them the covenant, even the covenant of baptism like Jesus did. And yet swear not in truth or in nor in righteousness. So I think it's saying, okay, the covenant people aren't being righteous. And that's part of what they're talking about here. And they say, but they do not stay themselves upon the God of Israel. If you look at old definitions of the word stay, there's an archaic definition that means endurance, to endure, the power of endurance, which would mean just they're not enduring in the Lord. They're making these covenants and then not doing that. And then it goes on into verse 5 saying, I showed you essentially what was coming, so that you wouldn't claim your graven image or idol did it instead. I don't know. Mm-hmm. That's where I'm getting so far. Dave, anything else?
Specifically, no, but let me just also point this out. Isaiah was a prophet who was called to testify of Jesus Christ. So as we read this chapter of Isaiah being quoted by Nephi, as well as there's more chapters of Isaiah included in the Book of Mormon, just as a reader, let's look and see, what are different ways? How does this testify of Christ? What do we know of Christ right now? And how can we correlate that to what Isaiah was prophesying of Christ? It's kind of fun to look and see different names of Jesus Christ, different references to him. So that's one thing that we can do to help us get through these Isaiah chapters and understand them better is, how does this testify of Christ? Another little help or hint that I would like to show is, at the beginning of every chapter in the Book of Mormon, there's a short little paragraph that kind of summarizes the content of that chapter. So if you're totally lost or clueless, go ahead and read that little introductory paragraph to chapter 20. It talks about that Israel has been chosen in the furnace of affliction and is to go forth from Babylon. That kind of gives us the context of where this is coming from. And then finally, just one other study tip that I think we've mentioned before is, as we're reading verses in the Book of Mormon, you'll notice small little superscript letters above some of the words in the verses. Those superscript letters correspond to down below in the margins at the bottom of the page. And there will be different translations, interpretations, meanings, context that I find to be very helpful to help define a word or to help further explain something in a little bit more of plain terms, whatever it may be. So those are just some ideas that will help us get through the chapters of Isaiah and understand Nephi's intent in including this and how it testifies of Jesus Christ.
Oh, that's brilliant. Thank you, Dave. Okay, we'll jump back in at verse 6. Thou hast seen and heard all this, and will ye not declare them? And that I have showed thee new things from this time, even hidden things, and thou didst not know them. They are created now, and not from the beginning. Even before the day when thou heardest them not, they were declared unto thee, lest thou shouldst say, Behold, I knew them. Yea, and thou heardest not, yea, thou knewest not. Yea, from that time thine ear was not opened. For I knew that thou wouldst deal very treacherously, and wast called a transgressor from the womb. Nevertheless, for my name's sake, will I defer mine anger, and for my praise will I refrain from thee, that I cut thee not off. For behold, I have refined thee, I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. For mine own sake, yea, for mine own sake will I do this, for I will not suffer my name to be polluted, and I will not give my glory unto another. Hearken unto me, O Jacob, and Israel, my called, for I am he, I am the first, and I am also the last.
Awesome. Eric, thank you for reading this. One thing I also want to point out here, there's somebody talking in the first person.
Yes.
I. So who is the I that is speaking? Who's the narrator here?
So this is Isaiah speaking messianically, correct?
Correct. And as he's speaking messianically, it's as if Jesus Christ is saying words.
So that word is just a fancy word of saying he's speaking as though it were Jesus Christ speaking.
Yep.
So even though it is Isaiah writing these words, and in fact, Nephi writing the words of Isaiah here, it is of Isaiah speaking as though the Lord was giving this as a first person narrative.
Yep. Perfect.
Okay. One of the things that I thought was great here, this starts to kind of bring into clarity the purpose of this chapter. It opens up by talking about who he's talking to, right? He's talking to the children of Israel, and he's saying that they are not keeping the covenants that they made with him. And then he starts going into what he had told them. He had given them his truth. He had given them his covenant. And then it starts talking about what they didn't hear, right? Thou heardst not. Thine ears were not open. And then he starts saying, nevertheless, even though you've been rebellious and even treacherous, he says here, even though you've been treacherous and rebellious and you didn't hear what I was telling you, nevertheless, for my name's sake, will I defer mine anger. Mm-hmm. So this is the Lord saying, you are my covenant people. And because of that, because my name is attached to you, I will not turn my anger towards you, but I'm going to help you. And I'm going to help you through the refiner's fire of coming back to me. Which I think is kind of beginning to be the purpose of this as we start to talk through it.
Let me just add one more thing to that. That's exactly what's happening as Isaiah is quoting and speaking in the first person as though the word's coming from Jesus Christ himself, where Jesus Christ will defer his anger toward his covenant people who are striving, you know, not perfect, yes, but striving. That is the exact same with us today. We are not perfect, but as followers of Jesus Christ, we are striving. And because we're doing that, Christ will defer his anger. And he will be patient, and he will give us second chances and third chances and fourth chances, so long as we continue to progress and try and turn to him rather than turn away from him.
Absolutely. And speaking from Nephi's perspective, having included this particular chapter in the Book of Mormon, here he is, he's gone through their tribulations in the wilderness, 8 years wandering through the wilderness and all the things that happened there, his brothers trying to kill him a couple of times, you know, everything, building the boat, coming over on the boat, all of that trial, and then coming here. And I would imagine this could be cathartic to him to say, like, okay, we're not perfect, we're flawed, we continue to be, as Isaiah described, the house of Israel.
Yeah.
And yet, thankfully, the Lord will continue to work with us as we continue to work towards him. So I can imagine this being cathartic in that sense.
Yeah.
Okay, then we'll jump back in at verse 13. Mine hand hath also laid the foundation of the earth, and my right hand hath spanned the heavens. I call unto them, and they stand up together. All ye assemble yourselves and hear. Who among them hath declared these things unto them? The Lord hath loved him. Yea, and he will fulfill his word, which he hath declared by them. And he will do his pleasure on Babylon, and his arm shall come upon the Chaldeans. Also saith the Lord, I the Lord, yea, I have spoken. Yea, I have called him to declare. I have brought him, and he shall make his way prosperous. Come ye near unto me, I have not spoken in secret. From the beginning, from the time that it was declared, have I spoken, and the Lord God and his Spirit hath sent me. And thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I have sent him, the Lord thy God, who teacheth thee to profit, who leadeth thee by the way thou shouldst go, hath done it. Oh, that thou hadst hearkened to my commandments! Then had thy peace been as a river, and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea. Thy seed also had been as the sand, the offspring of thy bowels like the gravel thereof. His name should not have been cut off nor destroyed from before me. Go ye forth of Babylon, flee ye from the Chaldeans, with a voice of singing declare ye, tell this utter to the end of the earth, say ye, the Lord hath redeemed his servant Jacob. And they thirsted not. He led them through the deserts. He caused the waters to flow out of the rock for them. He clave the rock also, and the waters gushed out, and notwithstanding he hath done all this, and greater also, there is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked. Woo! Great ending there.
Yeah.
That was great. That's how you think you see some of the poetry coming out in what Isaiah is capable of there, and that was really beautiful. So, to summarize this chapter, and again, looking at Jesus Christ, again, he starts to talk in the first person there at near the end of that. It's the Lord saying, essentially, I've done all this for you. You've made you my covenant people. You've been rebellious. You've been treacherous. And yet I will continue to do all these things. Flee, go ye forth of Babylon. Flee ye from the Chaldeans. And saying that he will lead their way in the desert. You will thirst not. He'll cause water to flow out of the rocks. Essentially saying, yes, you've been this. You've been rebellious. You've been not living to your covenants. But as you do, I will pour out blessings to you that you can't even imagine.
You're still my covenant people.
Yes. Yes. And I think going back to what that means for us right now and why this chapter should sing to us right now, all of us have fallen short of our potential. All of us have fallen short of what the Lord would have asked of us. All of us who have taken that covenant of baptism or gone to the temple and taken the covenants that happened there, all of us have fallen short of those at some time or another. And yet, as we look at the world around us, is this not Babylon?
Yeah.
Are we
yeah.
not still this rebellious, treacherous people in Babylon today? And the Lord is saying to us, flee Babylon. Get out of Babylon and go to him, and he will cause us to no longer thirst. He will cause the waters to pour forth. He will cause us to have blessings that we can't even imagine even today.
Eric, that was awesome. I'm glad that you're feeling passionate about it and willing to share your feelings about it. That's one thing that I think is so beautiful about the Book of Mormon, and particularly about these Isaiah chapters, is it can be meaningful in different ways to different people. And I guess the invitation would be, ponder on how this is meaningful to you in your life for whatever reason. You may be able to relate to some of this poetic language now in a different way than I am able to. One thing that just popped into my mind as well, and I don't know if this is a fair comparison, but is the way that Isaiah describes and testifies of Jesus Christ in his language. I just have to think back of when I learned about and studied Shakespeare. Same thing, like he used this flowery language that I didn't really get. I got the gist of what he was saying and kind of the storyline and things like that. But these are masterful people that have a command of words in order to say, I mean, how do you describe feelings? How do you look at a beautiful painting and put that into words?
Yeah.
You do your best, you know, yeah. and so you have the words that you're hearing, but a lot of it comes from what you're experiencing or what you're feeling inside. So just keep that in mind as you're listening to this chapter being quoted from Isaiah. What's the picture that Isaiah is seeing that he's trying to describe in words to you, and what feelings or emotions does that bring out in you?
Absolutely. I love it. Okay, Dave, any final takeaways from the chapter?
This is exciting. No nuggets from this one from me. I am excited, though. We do have another chapter in Isaiah that will follow in our next episode. So you'll find that these Isaiah chapters are mingled throughout the Book of Mormon, particularly in Nephi's writings. And it just goes back to, of all the things that he could have written and recorded, why did he choose this? And I truly believe that it's because it testifies of Jesus Christ. We just need to find it in there.
Absolutely. Another thing that I would take away as a final takeaway to this is that already in the Book of Mormon, we've seen the theme reiterated several times that if you are righteous, you'll be blessed. Particularly in the Promised Land, this land is specifically set apart to be for a righteous people. And that if you are righteous in this land, you will prosper. That's been repeated already several times in the Book of Mormon and will continue to be throughout. But it's stated, I like to look for when that same promise is stated, perhaps by different people and perhaps in different ways. And one of the things that is mentioned here in verse 22, there is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked. And of course, if you take the inverse of that, which would also mean then the peace of the Lord comes to the righteous.
Yeah.
And I think that that is just another form of prosperity that we can expect of the Lord. As we bring ourselves with a broken heart and a contrite spirit to our Savior, we can expect his peace in our life in greater measure. Doesn't maybe all come at once. And there are often times where we give our whole hearts and our whole souls to the Savior, and we have some of the hardest times we've ever had in our whole life. But even in those trials, we can have peace. And as we search for the Savior can give us that peace. And I think that's another kind of prosperity that can come to us as we're attempting righteousness and seeking what the Savior would want.
That's beautiful. And having the desire to follow Christ does not make our lives void of difficult times, but it does fill our lives with that peace of Christ.
Absolutely.
Despite or in spite of the bad things that happen or the difficult situations that we find ourselves in.
Absolutely. Okay, then I think we're done with this chapter, but thank you everybody for listening. This has been a fun one, and we look forward to digging into more of the Isaiah chapters. And thank you for listening. Join us again next time as we continue reading the Book of Mormon together. Quick disclaimer here, this podcast is not produced by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Everything expressed in this podcast is the opinion of the people making it, and it is not endorsed by the church or its leaders. Everything in this podcast is intended to promote faith in Jesus Christ by helping you understand the Book of Mormon. Please listen to this podcast with an open heart and pray for guidance from the Lord as you continue reading the Book of Mormon. Thank you for listening.